Amen. Well, Merry Christmas. Good morning. The message today is titled, God with us is Jesus. God with us is Jesus. I am so glad for each person God has brought here today to celebrate the wondrous gift of God with us, the birth of Jesus Christ. You know, Christmas is not quite here, but it's the Christmas week, it's the Christmas season, and every day is a day that God is with us, not just Christmas time. Pat and I were talking about that before the service earlier. If it were up to me and I didn't want to step on all my family members' toes, I'd leave Christmas decorations up year round, because in my heart and mind, I want to just celebrate the birth of Jesus every day. I do. It's always a great day to celebrate the light of the world. A long time ago, the prophet Isaiah foretold of the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, the deliverer. And we see this in Matthew's telling of the Christmas story, Matthew 1. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. The Christmas story is full of awe and wonder and miracles. The story of the King of Kings, the Son of God, leaving the throne of heaven and coming in the form of a baby. I've read the story so many times, and I've heard the story so many times, and I still just don't know that I can fully grasp the beauty and the magnificence of what God did there. But it was part of His gift to humanity, the most wonderful gift of all. We've been walking through the Christmas story the last few weeks, and as we've walked through the Christmas story, we've seen how in the Scriptures, God met very real people and made them part of the story there along the way, people who were involved in that Christmas story, people just like me and you, not much different at all. And we saw how, even as an unborn infant, how the coming of Jesus was bringing hope and peace and love and joy into people's lives, just like He does with us today. So let's retrace a little bit of the Christmas story this morning, and we're going to highlight and celebrate a few of those things again of really what it means that God is with us. First of all, we talked about several weeks ago that God with us means that He brings hope into our lives. We have hope because of His coming. And a few weeks ago, we talked about Zechariah and Elizabeth and how he was a priest. They were an older couple. They'd been childless many years, and how they were given this visit from an angel. And this angel told them how they were going to be the parents of a very important prophet who we know as John the Baptist, and how he was coming to declare the coming of the Lord, the Messiah. And so this message with this elderly couple, this was a couple who had experienced many, many years of childlessness and heartache over that. They'd been crying out to God for so long, and how finally this spark of renewed hope because of this message from the angel, that they would have a baby. And then not only hope for them, but hope for all of humanity, because the Messiah is coming. It's not just that they're going to have a baby, it's that their baby is going to announce the baby who is coming, that Christ was going to be born. Ever since the fall with Adam and Eve, ever since sin had come in and disrupted our relationship with God, God had always told His people, He'd always made a promise that somehow He would bring redemption, somehow He would bring reconciliation, somehow He would bring a Messiah who would reverse what the curse of sin and death had done. He would restore us to Himself. He'd spoken to Abraham about this and made promises to Abraham that it was through his descendants, through his seed, that the Messiah would come. And he affirmed this through many different prophets over the years, and we see this in Scripture. Isaiah really fanned the flames, though, of hope with these messages from the Lord. In Isaiah 9, the Bible says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor. He will be the one who walks with you and guides you in the problems of life and the different seasons you go through. He's the one who's going to shoulder your load because he's with you. He's the Wonderful Counselor. He is the Mighty God. He's the one who's going to work in you and through you to bring about his purposes in his life. He's the Everlasting Father. The Everlasting Father. I think sometimes we underestimate what that means. You know, some of us were blessed with good fathers, but not a perfect, eternal Father like we have in the Lord, who's always good and always loving, and who would make a way for us to be saved from our sins. And he is the Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. And sometimes I think of that situationally with whatever I'm going through, but he's even more than that, he's the Prince of Eternal Peace that gives us peace with God. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. So this hope, this promise, had been with the people. And now with Zechariah, he gets this message from the angel and his wife becomes pregnant. There's this renewed hope that they have, that God had heard their prayers and he was answering them, and that they would have a son. And this son was to announce hope to all the nation and to the world that the Messiah is coming. Hope in Israel was alive again. Hope on earth was alive again. You know, as we talked about hope a few weeks ago, we recognize that sometimes our hope, even though we have God with us, that sometimes we allow our focus to get off of him and our hope diminishes, it withers. And our hope can even get to a place to where it's dead inside of us, to where we've been going our own way for so long and had our eyes off the Lord for so long that our hope can be very diminished, and that could be where some of us are today. But God brings dead things back to life. He renews hope. And so if you've been in a season where your hope has been diminished, when we turn our hearts to him in thankfulness and gratitude and consider who he is and what he's done for us, he'll bring that hope to life again. And that hope will grow and become healthy, and that cup will overflow, and other people around us will receive hope as well from that. But we focus on the Lord with gratitude, and that helps to renew our hope today. You know, no matter what we're going through, we have the big gift from the Lord, which is not only coming as a baby, but going to the cross and bearing our sins so that we can have the promise of eternal life and adoption into God's family, that we're forgiven of everything, that he's reversed the curse that we had. And because of that, and because of the resurrection, no matter what I'm going through today, some days that's hard, but I can still have that gratitude that grows hope within me because of that, because of what he's done. Part of my prayer for all of you, all the time, and for the community that I pray often, comes from Romans 15:13. May the God of hope, the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Another thing to recognize today, because he is God with us, is that with himself he brings love into our lives. He gives us love. We talked a couple weeks ago about Mary and Joseph and their love story, and how it was probably pretty typical in some aspects for its day. They were just a young couple, like any young couple, and they were going through this three-step marriage process that anybody in their culture would have gone through. They probably, as Ralph mentioned, just humble means. They didn't have riches. And they think they know where their life is heading, like any young couple. They probably think they know a lot more than they actually knew. But they had their plans. I'm sure they'd had many conversations over Joseph fixing a cart for somebody and Mary hanging out, and they're talking about the future and what are we going to name the kids and where are we going to live, and they're just thinking about their life like any young couple would. But this angel shows up with this news of a miraculous pregnancy. And their world and all of their plans and all of their agenda is rocked. Everything is changed with this announcement from the angel. And their lives that had probably maybe been pretty quiet and normal until then are completely changed forever. And we know that even though they were shaken in the moment, that their love story is an even more amazing love story, because God Himself, the embodiment of love, was coming into their lives in a special way. That and God met them not only through that amazing birth and letting them be part of that as the parents of Jesus, but He met their needs, their simple needs, just like He does for us. I love that the Bible tells us that truth, that God pays attention to the details of our life, that the hairs on our head, which some of us are more than some of us are less, are numbered. That he's aware of everything and He cares for us so deeply. And we see this with Mary and Joseph, that Mary is a young lady who's suddenly pregnant in an amazing way. I just think about how wonderful that is, but how isolating that is. She's got to be thinking, who's going to believe me? Who's going to understand me? Who's going to encourage or support in any way? And yet God, out of His love, prompts her to go to Elizabeth, her cousin. The only person, because she's got a miracle baby herself, the only person who's going to understand and affirm and encourage Mary and love on her with God's love, just like Mary needs. God's meeting her in a way that she needs because of love for her. I think about just the hug from Elizabeth, you know, with Mary, and what that must have meant to her in that moment, to finally somebody understands, somebody gets what I'm feeling here. And just the love and acceptance from God through Elizabeth that Mary needed. It told her she's not alone. Yeah. Sometimes that's the worst thing about what we're going through. Whatever it is just feeling like nobody understands. But to have somebody that does means everything. And then with Joseph, we see that Joseph needed a different expression of love. Joseph got this visit from an angel, and he had been of a mind to divorce Mary up until this point, until this visit from the angel. But God lovingly, God didn't have to do this. He could have let that carry that course with the divorce, but God lovingly meets Joseph in a way that he needed with his visit to assure him, Mary loves you. I've got a plan in this. This is a miracle baby. You can trust me. This angel comes and gives him this news that he needed, that these events taking place are from God. And out of God's love, He does this for Joseph. So we see here that God's love, it meets us in just the right ways, in the perfect timing, not only in their life, but God does the same for you. God does the same for me, that as we just open our eyes to God's working in our life, as we open our hearts to His love for us and we receive that love, it overflows into the lives of people around us. In 1 John 4, the Apostle John wrote, "So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. We love because He first loved us." And this love is encapsulated, embodied in this baby, this little baby, helpless baby, that would identify with humanity and willingly lay down His life for our sins. And because He is with us, we are part of this story of love, of His coming. And it changes us and it sweeps us up into this miraculous story that didn't end at the stable but goes on, the story of redemption. And it's good for us to keep in mind, especially as sometimes we get stressed out with just all the busyness. You know, it feels like the pedal's to the floor and fourth gear and everything's flying along, and suddenly we're just supposed to stop and be peaceful and reflective. You know, things are so busy for many of us, but it is good to just keep in mind, you know what? That love and peace that God is giving me is not just for me, but I can bear this to others who need this right now. People in our lives this Christmas season who are as stressed out as I am, who are as busy as I am. And as I go to this family gathering, as I go to a neighbor, as I go see a coworker, whatever it may be, that there's people in our lives that need this love of God. They need us to show that in our patience with them sometimes, you know, but in a multitude of ways for this love of God that makes us more like Him, to show this to others. We also recognize that God with us brings joy. God with us brings joy in our life. We see in the scriptures with Elizabeth, with Mary's cousin, the mother of John the Baptist, how she's the first person really explicitly in scripture where they are overjoyed with the coming of Jesus, even before he's born, that he's arriving. Elizabeth is already excited. She's already got this amazing news that she's been praying and hoping and crying out to God for a baby, and that's been answered. But not only that, not only does she have all this excitement and happiness about her own baby, but she has this joy of the coming of the Messiah. You know, they tried for so long to have their own baby, and now all that shame had been washed away, and they're rejoicing at this blessing from God. But then Mary comes for this visit, and this joy erupts in Elizabeth. We see here in the scriptures, in Luke 1, "As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." So not only Elizabeth, but her unborn baby, somehow, it's a miracle, just recognizes something special is going on here with this baby in Mary. And there's this joy, this contagious joy. And we see that this joy, not only in what Elizabeth says, but then this spreads even back to Mary. And Mary has this own song of praise that she has, this expression of gratitude and joy. Peter describes this joy for us that we have in Christ in 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter wrote, "Though you have not seen him," speaking of the Lord, "though you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him, and you are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls." It's an amazing, deep joy that the Lord gives us. It's so much deeper than any kind of happiness that just comes and goes. It's rooted in the person of our Savior who died for us and who still abides with us and is with us now in his work of redemption. This is the joy that Jesus spoke of in John 16:22. He talks about a joy, and he's speaking to his disciples, but he's speaking to us. He says, there's a joy that I'm giving you that you it can't be taken away. Circumstances can't rob you of this. The devil can't take this from you. But this is a joy that comes from the Lord, and it is a gift that cannot be taken away. This Christmas season is a season of joy because Jesus has come. And so we should look for reasons to be grateful and thankful and joyful and to rejoice in the Lord no matter what we're going through, that because of the arrival of Christ, that we have a reason to rejoice. We also recognize that God with us brings peace. God with us brings peace. You know, sometimes that's elusive. You know, I think sometimes I have a romanticized idea of that peaceful night when the baby was born. And I think about Mary and Joseph, and they're good and holy, and God has his hand on them, and everything's just, I'm sure they're just tranquil, and nothing's bothering them. That's probably not how it was at all. You know, Mary's going to have a baby. They need somewhere to stay, and they can't find a place. And Joseph's probably a lot like a lot of us guys in here, where he wants to fix stuff that needs fixed. So he's like, it's on me. I've got to find a place for my wife to have this baby. And if she doesn't have a good place to have that baby, it's my fault. He's probably stressed out, and just the weight of that. There's all these crowds, and they can't find a place to stay, so they have to go to the stable. Then I think about the shepherds and watching over their flocks by night, and I'm thinking about my own nighttime campfire experiences where we're just sitting around having s'mores and singing songs and everything's wonderful and peaceful. Well, that was probably not the case for these guys. I mean, there may have been wolves nearby that they're concerned about the sheep. They may be sleeping on hard ground and eating the same rations of food for the 10th night in a row. Maybe they're grumbling and a little disheartened. And we know for sure from the scripture that they did not feel peace when they got the news from the angel, that they were terrified at this. We see that again and again in scripture. When people have an interaction with an angel, usually the immediate response is fear. And you think in context, though, of who this is that's receiving this message. These are shepherds. Shepherds were not esteemed in that culture. They were on the bottom of the totem pole. These are the least. And so, and even religiously, they would have thought, you know, Lord have mercy on us because we are the least deserving people. They heard that a lot, I'm sure, from the Pharisees, of how unworthy they were. And so when an angel shows up to declare something to you and you're a shepherd, you're probably thinking, okay, well, we're not worth much, so here comes the judgment, here comes the hammer, here comes the bad news. You know, that God sent some angels, we're probably in some trouble because we're shepherds. They're not thinking great news. That would come to the religious elite. That would come to the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they would think, because they're on the bottom of the culture. But the angel has this message of joy and peace that he brings to the shepherds. In Luke 2:10, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Just imagine the wonder of that message to these shepherds. Luke 2:14, this chorus of angels singing, glory to God in the highest heaven on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. And they're thinking, even us? Even shepherds? God intentionally chose them. They weren't just coincidentally in the right place at the right time. God chose them, I'm sure, because they felt so unworthy to receive this great news, that they had reason to celebrate. They had reason to rejoice because the Son of God was coming and they would be blessed by this. That this was for them. Even though they were downtrodden, even though these are the outcast of society, even though the townspeople didn't want to hang out with them, God did. God wanted to be with them. So he gives them this message of peace. And it's an abiding peace. It's the peace that we have today. It's the peace that no matter what you're going through, if somebody says, how are you doing? You really do have a truthful reason to say, it is well with my soul. I have peace with God. I have peace with God. In Philippians 4, the Bible encourages and really commands us, don't be anxious about anything. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. No matter how dark the night is, no matter how bad the storm is, the peace of God is there because His presence is there. And that's the peace of Christ that's with us this morning, that's accessible to every one of us this morning. The Prince of Peace has come. And the most important thing about the Christmas story is Jesus, is that God with us is Jesus. Jesus is the center of it all. Far more than even all the benefits that He brings with Himself. The Christmas story is all about Jesus. In Luke 2, verses 6 and 7, the Bible says, "While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no room available for them." The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, in the most humble way imaginable, vulnerable, physically dependent on human beings. I just can hardly wrap my mind around that miracle. So amazing. You know, and I would have, if I were the Father, I think I would have given a trumpet to every human being on the planet and said, "Everybody stand, we're going to welcome my son." I think there would have been confetti and glitter and those little popper things, and it would have been the biggest celebration, the biggest fanfare ever in humanity. But we see how God did it in this quiet, personal way, the coming of His Son. So unexpected. Announcing it to shepherds, announcing it to the least. And it changed everything, not just for us. I mean, just the fabric of the universe, of God's universe, completely altered now that the Son of God born into this world. In the middle of all is Jesus, Emmanuel. Jesus is the fulfillment of all hope. Jesus is the embodiment of love. Jesus is the source of joy. Jesus is our peace. Jesus is life. In John 10:10, we're told that Jesus is the giver of life to the full, of abundant life. John 14:6, that He is the way, the truth, and the life. We know that He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. It is all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. So as we celebrate Christmas, I just want to encourage each of us to celebrate in our hearts with humility, with humbleness. I think it was C.S. Lewis who said that humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's not thinking, "I'm just the lowliest worm," and beating yourself up. It's getting your eyes off of yourself and thinking of Him. It's thinking of yourself less and get your focus on Christ. And I would just encourage us this season, fix our eyes on Him as we celebrate Christmas, and we celebrate all those, and we should be thankful for all those wonderful benefits, for the hope and the joy and the love and the peace. Those are wonderful, and it is right for us to praise Him for those things. But even more than any of that, just to celebrate in awe and wonder and reverence His majesty and His glory and just how awesome Jesus is. In Romans 5, Paul gives us this snapshot of the life that we have now because of Christ. "Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into a place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. What a beautiful description of the Christian life, of what Christ has brought us. I would just encourage us this Christmas season, like those humble shepherds, to receive this awesome news of Emmanuel, of God with us, and to glorify him with praise. Psalm 23, it's a favorite psalm of many, and one that is probably one of the most well-known. The 23rd psalm starts out, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," or some translations say, "I have all that I need, because he's my shepherd. He's my shepherd. I have all that I need." Let me pray for us, and then worship team, if you'd like to come up. Lord, we do praise you this morning, God, for the wonderful gift of yourself that you give us. God, it's so marvelous. I think 10,000 years in heaven, Lord, aren't going to be enough for us to fully understand what it means for your Son to be born into this world, to go to that cross and bear our sins, to be resurrected, that he died in our place to give us the wonderful gift, not only salvation, but the gift of life, the gift of himself. Father, I pray for our hearts and minds this morning, as we'll soon be going from here, Lord. I just pray that if there's anything, God, if there's anything in us, in our lives, that's hindering us from welcoming Jesus, that you would remove that, God. With our minds, with our hearts, with our lives, with our will, with everything we are, Lord, help us to adore Jesus this Christmas. Help us to welcome you, God, in every way possible, and then to share that wonderful good news that God has come and that he is with us. Help us to share that joyful news with the people in our lives this week. In Jesus' name, amen.